This is A Midlife Less Ordinary, and this is Season 2, Episode 1, and this is The Hazy James.
Did you like what you hear? Because Wayne and I did. We were lucky enough to snag an interview with these guys. They're a new heavy bass blues rock band from Halifax, and that was the Yellow Belly Blues from the Hazy James.
I think that track is a real earworm. I listen to this every night after when we're having dinner, and the boy just can't stop singing it. It's a real earworm. What I would say is go to Spotify and download the track, the Hazy James Yellow Belly Blues, from there, so you can give it the full hi-fi treatment, because podcasts do unfortunately come out in mono, but I still think it sounds cool on there, Trev, don't you?
It does. It needs to be played loud as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That riff is a killer. It really is. That's the first thing. When I heard it on Planet Rock, I was like, that riff is just great. Yeah, and considering there are two of them, it's a big noise for a two-piece. It's a very big noise.
It's a very big noise. And now they can say they've opened a show.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Welcome to season two, everyone. Yeah. Bit different.
Yeah, not much of a show. No, it's just me and Trev.
Same as always. But, you know, just a bit different to kick it off. Yeah, we've got the Hazy James. We've got Ellis from the Hazy James. We'll go straight to the interview. So we have Ellis with us today from the Hazy James. The Hazy James are a blues rock duo from Halifax. The other
quite
member
heavy
of the band,
one Wayne.
Very
quite
heavy. Yeah, blue. I couldn't believe very it actually heavy. when you said it to me. But they're a duo, and believe me, from the sound, as you've heard, they sound more than two people in the band, to be fair, don't they?
That's one of the first things that struck me, to be honest.
Yeah, you would have thought there's a few on stage. The other member of the band is Bron. He's the drummer, and you are the vocalist and guitarist, Ellis.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're a two-piece rock outfit, as I like to describe, I suppose, from the beautiful God's country of Halifax.
You're not biased at all. The name Ellis, Hazy James, I did a Google of it because I wanted to be up with it and everything and know it. And I was a bit shocked with what I found, because I think I could be arrested with some of the stuff that come up on Google when I typed in Hazy James. I know one of them was it basically came as an IPA BrewDog drink. The other one was a salubrious kind of substance. And the other one I can't even mention, I don't think, because can I ask where the name comes from and why you've chose it?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, me and Bron are very big craft beer fans, and we do tend to have the odd brew dog. So I don't know if we're going to get sued in the future, but
you get a sponsorship deal, I reckon.
we did sort of. Well, I think it was me actually. I was just down in my eighth can of Hazy Jane from Brewdog, and I thought, mate, this is a really good idea. Why don't we just call ourselves the Hazy Janes? It's our favourite beer. So that's where
that comes from. Thanks. I'm glad you cleared that up, and I'm glad it was the most mellow answer out the three.
Yeah. To be honest, I was quite hoping it would be like some gay porn thing.
It was, one of them was a bit like that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, dear.
I don't know how we would have answered that if it's, but yeah.
No.
I maybe should have Googled it before we decided on the name.
Don't worry about that, mate. Cool. Just get it out there. Cool. Just get it out there, Ellis. You don't have to worry about Googling things, mate. So you yourself and Bron come from Halifax, yeah?
No, Bron is from, he's from like Pickering area, so North York. But his family runs back all the way to like, they were talking about something daft. This is completely going off topic now. But, his family goes back to, like, Richard III and all the way back to, like, 856 or something like that. He's got, like, a really, really big family line. I think he's, like, part Norwegian or something like that. Something daft.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, he's from Pickering.
So how did you two meet then?
Oh, we've been... I started playing the guitar when I was 16. And then by the time I was probably like 17, I was playing in my first band and stuff like that. And then I eventually went to music college, did a few gigs in another band, and we played a gig in Hull at a place called O'Reilly's, which is a venue just outside Hull. And he was playing in a band called Bigfoot. And I met him there. And Bigfoot were like a blues rock band with Bron's dad as the drummer. Bron was playing the guitar, in fact, in this band. And Bron's dad is like, he's a bit of a genius, sort of like a bit of a manager for us as well, tells us if we sound shit or not. And
that's good, yeah.
Everyone needs one of those. And
especially if they're related, to be honest, Ellis, that's the good thing, because he can be honest with you. If you've got a manager that's kind of bats around a bit, he's like, well, yeah, that's all right. You know he's going to be honest with you. He's going to be like, to be honest. It reminds me of Lars Ulrich's dad. Have you ever seen that? Where he said about, what does the Black Album sound? And his old man was like, sounds like shit. was it Black or the album after? Whatever one it was, he absolutely caned it, Lars Ulrich's dad. And this is what I mean. He can be honest. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. It might even be the load, I think, which probably deserves it, to be honest. But sorry, mate, carry on.
No, it's all right. Bron's dad's he's a bit of a guru. He's a big Led Zeppelin fan, and he's definitely helped us come up with some ideas and stuff. And he's been really positive about the whole thing as well. I think it's his sort of music as well, so it does help to have somebody that's honest but also supportive at the same time.
Definitely.
So, that's how me and Bron met. We met at a gig, and I think it's long overdue me and Bron playing in the same band together because we've always liked.
Sometimes things are just meant to happen, aren't they? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, the coming together. Agree. It just, yeah.
We've always questioned each other, like, why have we never sort of thought of doing something together before? We always question each other on it, and it's. I suppose we can't get hung up on it too much, but we're doing it now, so it's good and it sounds good, and we're really happy with how it's going at the minute.
Yeah. Definitely, mate. It does sound great. It does sound really good, mate.
Yeah, saying that.
Thanks very much.
That heavy blues rock sound that Trevor and I dig so much, you must have some great influences, Ellis.
Yeah, I've got quite a few, to be fair, and Bron's similar. So, like, I think for me personally, Jack White's a massive influence on me. I remember seeing him at Briggs Bar, of all places, when he first released his first solo record, and he just blew me away. He's a fantastic artist, and he's just changed his sound every single in every single song, that as opposed to different albums. So he's a massive influence on me, and especially mixing with that blues sort of thing where it sounds, you know, it sounds like he's recorded it off a potato, and he's just like, he just makes it sound great. And I don't know how. Like today, I was listening to Jack White again today, just on the
that's the cool thing. And with guitarists like that, Ellis, that they kind of, what I love about most guitarists that I admire is you know instantly it's them from their tone.
Yeah.
But they can still sort of change and go with different things and you still know it's them. You know, that kind of signature sound. Yeah, and I think, as you say, Jack White has really got that kind of, and I think, to be honest, when they first come out, the White Stripes, there wasn't a lot of bands really doing that kind of modern sort of, well, I suppose I'd call it a bit Delta blues style, really. No one was doing it, were they? You know?
No, that's right. They were sort of the first ones, especially to make it sort of mainstream as well for that sort of music. Yes. I mean, they really just added something different. And I think that there was not really many two pieces around, or definitely not that I can think of, where they've still had that sort of wall of sound, if you know what I mean. It was as if a full band was playing. There were just so many catchy lyrics and it was still heavy music as well. I think he said he just wanted it to sound as if it was live every single time, and he only recorded on an 8-track recorder, or, you know, he goes a bit daft with it all, doesn't he? But just a really clever guy. Clever guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny because that kind of heavy blues rock is a band I like, that I listen to quite a bit. I haven't heard them. I don't know if they're still together. A band called, I think it's Left Hand Cruiser. And they were a two-piece. And they were very kind of heavy American guys. But it is amazing with that sort of blues rock sound, that especially the heavier blues rock, like yourself and Left Hand Cruiser, that they can, there can only be two of them. They create such a sort of sonic boom, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real art to that. There really is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so before the Hazy Janes, I was in another two piece called Freak, and that was a lot heavier. So basically, what I've found with two pieces, not that I know everything about music and two pieces and all this, because I really don't.
I do, Ellis. So you can just talk to me. I know everything about music. Don't worry about it, mate.
I'd like to say he's joking, but unfortunately, I can't on this topic.
It's just that I think when it comes to a two-piece, people can, you know, they see the music sort of vary from them, so they can hear the guitar and they can see the guitar, and they can see the vocals and they can hear the vocals, and they can see the drums and they can see the, you know what I mean? Whereas sometimes if you've got five guitars and two bass and two drums, sometimes it's like just too much sound and you can't really make out every single instrument. And I think that people, you know, the people that just like to listen to music as opposed to create music and do all that and just like to watch it, that's quite interesting for people like that.
I don't know definitely. If that makes it sound that's right.
But I think
I think what you're saying as well is like, it's pure, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
You can, as you say, hear where it's coming from. You know, it's not like a kind of mishmash and like, to be honest, because I listen to quite a bit of old prog rock and stuff. As much as I love it, sometimes it can just sound so eccentric and like they're just up their own arses sometimes. You think, you know, it's groovy and stuff, but really, like, just a bit, it's nice. I think that's the reason AC/DC are like most people's favourite rock band, because it is just that riff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean,
the riff is the kill, you know?
Yeah, I think me and my work partner, boss, I don't know, he's not my best mate, but we was in the van and we were listening to AC/DC, and I've never really full-on delved into the AC/DC thing and listened to all the albums all the way through. It's always just been the hits, so, you know, like, Back in Black and all that sort of thing. But sometimes the best songs are like the sixth or seventh or eighth track on the album, and the ones that have got like the really catchy riffs and just that really simple drum beat, they're the best songs for me. And I think that, I really agree with what you're saying there about ACDC. Mm. Like, they're really quite simplistic, but they're really, really catchy, really, really good. And no surprise that they're people's favourite.
The last thing I'll say about ACDC to me, because I'm a massive fan of the Bon Scott era, the earlier stuff, rather than, and like, you know, don't get Bracken Black is just like a milestone in rock music, isn't it? But the Bon Scott stuff, he had that kind of dirty, kind of greasy uncleness about it. I think that dirtiness of AC/DC, he did, didn't he? He had that kind of, I don't know, you sort of uncle that you wouldn't leave your teenage niece with. But that worked, if that makes it was. Yeah, well, I know. It's true. Look it up, Wayne. You know, it's like, but he did. He had that kind of, and I think a lot of bands that took on that mantle of AC/DC riff of the Cult, Circus of Power, and that, they all had that kind of grease, and that's why it became a bit biker rock, I think. But with your stuff, it's a lot more kind of 70s sort of influenced rather than that kind of greasy, you know, which I think's refreshing, if that makes sense. It really does, you know.
And talking of that as well, I mean, the pressures of actually having to work together during lockdown, how did you and Bron practice, Ellis?
Like I've mentioned before about being in a two-piece before, that's over lockdown, that sort of like broke away, and we sort of just was on different paths in our lives and all that sort of thing, and I was a bit of a, I really wanted to carry on doing music, and you know, it's what I've always wanted to do and all that sort of thing, but I didn't really know what else to do, because I didn't really want to do my own thing and do solo stuff, because I'd rather just rock out on stage with an electric guitar as opposed to an acoustic Ed Sheeran type thing.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, you chose definitely the right path there, mate. You really did.
I don't know if I can do the la-di-da voice, if you know what I mean. That sounds like I'm taking the piss, but
I don't think a lot of Ed Sheeran fans listen to this podcast, mate, so you can slam it down as much as you want.
We definitely won't have any now, I know that, but
well, I am a ginger man that wears glasses, so I do get that.
We've got nothing against them. But yeah, it must have been challenging, Ellis. Yeah, just try, obviously, to put a song together like Yellow Belly Blues during the lockdown. Is it recorded in a studio, or did you guys lay down separate tracks and edit it together? How was it done?
So I sort of like wrote the riff and did all this sort of thing way before I met Bron. And I really liked it, and the lyrics were there and everything. And then I messaged Bron and said, do you fancy doing something? Do you even just dep in on a track for me or something like that? And he was like, mate, I'm actually just about to sort of like ask you if you want to do something with me. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we basically just spent a month or two sending voice recordings to each other over Facebook Messenger, getting excited about different ideas, and I showed him Yellow Belly Blues, and he was like, oh man, this is really cool, really like the sound, and he sent me like a drum track over and stuff, and then we said, should we get it trying to like a professional recording, and we was like, yeah, let's do it. So there's a studio in York that we went to. We made sure we was doing all the government guidelines and stuff, and turns out that, you know, if you're in a professional band and you do earn money in some way, then you can go and record, albeit socially distanced record. And being a two-piece, it's a lot easier to be socially distanced and all that sort of thing. So it's one at a time in the studio and all that sort of thing. So it was it was a little bit different than the usual way of recording, but we got there in the end, and
is it music first, Ellis, as opposed to like music before lyrics, obviously?
Yeah, for me personally, I mean, every now and again I'll come with like a hook line or something like that when I'm out and about, but it's usually the music comes first and then the lyrics come afterwards for me personally.
It's
talking of like the way you've recorded the track, it's such a shame, because playing live is obviously the biggest thing, and like I could just, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing you play live. Hopefully you get to London at some point and we can come up and meet you guys like there and see you play. But, you know, that's the whole lifeblood of a starting band. And you've had that snatched away from you, really, haven't you? So I bet you're itching to just, like, because you'd sound great in, like, a nice, real, vibrant, sweaty kind of rock club, like, Brixton, banging it out. Yeah. Like, exactly. That's, yeah. You know. I bet you're really jumping at the bit to get out and do it, aren't you, mate?
Absolutely, yeah. We're so desperate to get out and do a gig. We've actually finally got a couple of dates booked in. We're playing in Sheffield at the name of it.
We'll put the links. We can send it to after.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Thank you. We're playing there. We honestly just can't wait. We're hopefully gonna do, like, we've got like a new single recorded that we don't know when to drop it, to be fair. We're just kind of trying to ride on the Yellow Belly Blues thing as long as possible at the minute, and then hopefully we'll get around to releasing another single and potentially doing some live streams in a venue in York. So, to be honest, doing anything that's partially live would be absolutely fantastic, and we can't wait to just share what we've got. We've got so much more than just Yellow Belly Blues to share.
I was going to say that was going to be one of our questions, Ellis. It was like, well, have you got an album like ready to go near enough, you know, once you get Yellow Belly Blues right out there?
The list of ideas and songs that we've got is really quite extensive. We've got quite a lot in there, and it's all quite different. It doesn't all sound like Yellow Belly Blues. Some of it sounds a little bit different, and some of it's a bit more C60, some of it's a bit more, you know, sort of like even Arctic Monkeys way, I'd say, to be fair.
The live thing, going back to that, there's nothing like live music, is there? And it's just going, if talking of like live stuff, supporting wise, obviously it'd be great to get on a nice sort of tour and that. In a dream kind of world, man, who would you like to support, like past and present? You know, if you could pick one back that you could learn from, have a good time with, you know, all of the above, mate. Who would you say?
I think that the only band that I could ever support that really is, I'd have to say, the Raconteurs. I think that they'd be, because they're all of the musicians within that band are really, really well educated in the whole music scene and music business and all that sort of thing. So I just think that they'd teach me a lot, as well as probably be just cool. And obviously Jack White's still in that band, so meet the hero. But I'm sure that Bron would probably say Led Zeppelin.
Talking of Led Zeppelin, I've got something about Led Zeppelin for you guys. I've got the weekly segment called Test the Guest Now, Ellis, and we're just hoping you'd like to take part. It's all about Led Zeppelin.
Absolutely, yeah, let's do it.
Good stuff, man.
Test the guest.
It's a very unique intro there, Ellis, as you can tell. unique is the polite word. Okay, so it's all just a bit of fun, Ellis. Just four or five questions. You against Trev. As I say, usually this is the bit where we make fun of Trev and get our own back for everything he does to us the other times. But today, this is a subject he knows a lot about. So, you know, I'm not so, you know, what I should have done is just made up a load of baloney and seen him struggle. But I haven't done that.
That'd have been about standard for this show, to be honest.
But these are multiple choice, Ellis. So you just have a stab if you're not sure. But it's all about Zeppelin. So,
right, cool.
First question to you, Ellis. In which year did Led Zeppelin make their live US debut? Was it 1967, 1968, 1969?
Well, I'm going to say 68.
Well done. Hey. Did you guess that?
No, I did not know.
He knew
that.
It. He knew it. He
yeah, he's been modest.
To spend. All the guests do that. Well, I didn't really know it. Yeah. But I had a guess.
Imagine
a
cooler, right, yeah.
Yeah, okay, mate.
No,
yeah.
I've got Robert Plant sitting next to me. He just told me.
Nice.
That's better than your Googling, yeah, Trev, cool. That you try and I do, having admit, Robert Plant yeah, there.
If you had John Bonham sitting next to me, then I would be freaked out.
Trev, question to you. Got question him. Two. Which British singer recommended Led Zeppelin to Atlantic Records? Was it Dusty Springfield, of all people, Rod Stewart, or Mick Jagger?
See, the obvious choice is Mick Jagger, isn't it?
Well, I'm not telling you.
The red
this is
the
a
red
quiz.
Is Dusty Springfield, isn't it?
Do you want me to get Robert on the line? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, have you got one? Go on.
I'm just going to throw it out there and say Dusty Springfield.
Ah, no. I really wanted to give you the other one. I really wanted to give you the other one. I don't know anything about that. I haven't got any follow-up with that. So do you know anything about that, Ellis, about how she recommended them?
No, but what I did find out, Halifax, big up to Halifax, is that one of Dusty Springfield's first live shows was in Halifax.
Wow.
And it was at where the Mecca Bingo is now.
Mecca Bingo, yeah. yeah. That
was
Mecca of
bingo cooler. Yeah. Hellish. Yeah. It was a bingo cooler there, that's what it was.
It's more like bingo wings these days. Well, it's not around now. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, that wasn't very respectful.
No, that's it. Have a pop at an old
yeah,
lady.
Sorry. Well, it's not the light. She's not here anymore. Sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. That's true.
Yeah, it's even worse. You've just made that worse. So right. Question three, quickly. Question three. Question three, Ellis. John Paul Jones once threatened to quit Zeppelin to do what? Was it be a policeman, be a choir master, or be a school teacher?
Oh, he looks like a school teacher. I think he's definitely a school teacher.
It's actually a choir master.
Really?
So I got no follow-up with that. So none of us know anything about it, so we can elaborate on this one. Unfortunately, there's no sort of follow-up. We can't say how he got on or if he was ever on, like, The Voice or something with it. But,
yeah.
He does look like a school teacher.
That's bizarre.
I suppose a choir master and a school teacher can be intertwined a little bit. Yeah, changed over.
You know what it might have been, being a choir master. I don't know. I'd like
you're not lowering the tone today. Okay. Question four to you.
Got him.
In which city did Led Zeppelin play Stairway to Heaven live for the very first time? Was it New York, Belfast, or Dallas?
Now, this is a guess. I don't know this.
Yeah. Well, I hope it is a guess, the amount of time you've taken to answer.
All right. Dallas.
I'm so glad you said that. It's actually Belfast. I say no follow up to that. Do you know anything about that, Ellis? No. At all? Can you follow up? It's,
no, but I can ask my.
ask him again. Yeah. Go on your hotline to Robert.
Yeah. All that we do know is he's played at every guitar shop in the world. And they're people trying out guitars, isn't it?
Just for a one off test the guest. Special. I'm going to throw a question out there, and whoever answers first, what about that? Who played the recorder on Stairway to Heaven? Was it Robert Plant? You can ask him. John Paul Jones or Jimmy Page?
Jimmy Page.
Yeah, I'd have said Jimmy Page as well.
Oh. Does that mean I have to give you two of them? It's actually John Paul Jones. Played the recorder on Stairway to Heaven. So there you go. That knowledge is in your head forever now. You've taken part in Test the Guest.
The talents that John Paul Jones had then, he was going to be a choir master. He played the recorder and is in the biggest rock band in the world.
Well, he does his kumbaya, isn't it, with his recorder. So it obviously makes sense.
He had it all set up, didn't he, really?
Yeah.
He really did.
Exactly.
So that's the profile John Paul Jones would have had.
So, Ellis, you've had a play on, Planet Rock. Sorry, I've just got confused. Planet Rock, that's where Trev first heard you. at us on the show. Can you just tell us the story, how that came about?
Yeah, so it's just pretty much potluck, I would imagine. I was just sat on my sofa. I had a day off work and I was watching WandaVision, which everybody should watch. And I was just emailing people. Me and Bron do that a lot. We're just, as soon as we, you know, you've got to do all these marketing things. And just emailing everybody. And I just sort of emailed Planet Rock. Well, I emailed Wyatt, found his email address on Twitter or something like that. And I was just like, hey, Wyatt, got a new track here. Just wondering if you like it. And then he emailed me back. I think it was like the day after or something, which is surprising. And he was like, really like this. Some of my family are from Halifax as well. So I'll get this played on the new rock show on Monday night. This was on a Tuesday, and then so he was talking about the following Monday, and then it came to Friday, and I had a text message and a few calls off some friends, and they were like, "Mate, I've just heard your new song on Planet Rock," and I was like, "What?" And it was Friday, so I was like, "Well, it's not going out on Monday." So I was like stressing out, like ringing Bron, like, "Bron, are we on Planet Rock? Like, what the hell's going on?" Wow. And everyone was like, everyone was sort of going wild about the fact that we was on Planet Rock. In fact, yeah, we didn't even notice Planet Rock at that point. People just messaged us saying, you're on the radio. And I was like, oh my God, what? And I was, at this point, I was like, it was raining and windy and I was like trying to take a wheel off a car and stuff. And I was like, what? I'm on the radio, but I'm taking a wheel off. Like, what the hell's going on?
To be honest, Ellis, when they make like the movie of you two guys, like the Bohemian Rhapsody from the Halifax, that'll look great in the film. Because you'll be like changing, Ellis, you're on the radio. You'll be like, yes, like a montage. You'll be like, yes, here I am. Strange you should say that. You said the words potluck, because I heard you on that Friday, and I was actually making a pot noodle when that came on. But it did. It came on. It said, and Wyatt said, this is like a heavy blues rock new band. Check it out. And I was like, that sounds really good. And then that's how we were lucky enough to get you on here, because I obviously shared it on Instagram and you kind of commented and said thanks and stuff, and we've kind of communicated since then, and now you've been good enough to come on here, which is great. And you must really, really thank Wyatt for that. Have you met him or?
No, I've never met him.
No, of course you wouldn't have done with all this, no.
Yeah, like, I've listened to his show a lot, but I've never had the pleasure of meeting him. But yeah, hopefully one day I will.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, you can sort of thank him for it and that. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. We've sent him a couple of messages saying thanks and stuff. We're not going to overdo it and stuff like that. I think he'd probably get a little bit annoyed, but just big up to him for putting us on. He said he really liked it.
I totally second that, Ellis. Yeah, big up. It's good to get, because it's so tough in musicians at the moment, not playing live, as I said before, and that it's great to see Planet Rock supporting young bands, and like, especially with the sort of heavier stuff. Because, you know, I listen to Planet Rock all the time and I really like it. It's a mainstay in my household. I know I have to play everything for everybody, but it's nice to hear something a bit dirty under the fingernails, you know, a bit more gritty, you know, rather than Green Day again. You know, but then that's my two cents, you know.
That's right, like sometimes there's too many clean guitars on the radio, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely.
We
definitely.
Definitely look forward to seeing you on the rising stage at Rambling Man, maybe next year, Ellis. It'd be good crowd for you.
It would be, yeah.
It would, wouldn't it? Suit.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of older people who go to Rambling Man.
Yeah.
You know, but you'd go down a storm, mate. You really would.
That'd be great. That'd be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Where is Rambling Man, if you don't mind me asking?
So it's in Maidstone in Kent, which is, you know, to us is only, you know, sort of 60 odd miles, but for you it's probably 240 or something. But still,
we'll make the trip.
But it would be well worth it. To say the audience would really appreciate, based on Yellow Belly Blues. You know, totally your music. Yeah. So, you know, I think and the rising stage there is exactly for people like yourselves. So maybe apply for that, Ellis, when you guys have established yourself a bit more. So, you know, hopefully see you there next
year. Definitely, yeah. If you could get on, because to be honest, there's so many kind of How do you feel about sort of having an older audience? I don't suppose you really care as long as people listen to you, do you, Ellis?
No, I'm not picky about who listens to us. We're both playing the music.
So where can people find out more about the band, Ellis? What's your links to your various social media and everything?
Yeah, so I think the best place is Facebook, Instagram, that sort of thing. We do have a YouTube channel as well, so if people want to go and follow us on that, then that's a good way of finding out. We do actually have, without sounding like a massive salesman, we do actually have a mailing list, which is free. So people who sign up to the mailing list, they'll receive content way before everybody else does. So such as, like, I don't know, merch and gig tickets and all that sort of thing. So if people want to sign up to our mailing list, then go for it, yeah.
I think I've signed up for that. I'm sure I have.
Yeah, you have, yeah.
I have to check that. Yeah, I thought I had, yeah.
Yeah,
we'll put all the links first, which would be good.
Yeah, you're waiting for his T-shirt now, Ellis. He'll expect it tomorrow.
But we'll swap it for one of ours, Ellis.
Oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. We'll do a collaboration.
We'll put all the links to everything on the site, Ellis. So, you know, we'll have it to YouTube, the mailing list, everything. So people can find you. The music's out there. Yellow Belly Blues is out there. We've got the other music to come. We're really looking forward to hearing more from you guys.
Yeah, great.
Cheers. Thanks for joining us today, Ellis.
Yeah, thanks for giving up your time, mate. It's been a pleasure. And, like, anybody, just check them out. They're a great heavy rock blues band.
Got a big future.
More power to them. Get them out here. When they get to play live, go and see them, support them, just support music in general, because it's all important nowadays.
Lovely.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ellis. It's been brilliant. It's been great.
Cheers. I think it was good to get up close and personal with somebody we've heard on the radio, Trev. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The good thing is it's nice to get a bit of background on them, you know, what their influences are, where they want to take it. The good thing is hearing how enthusiastic they are.
Yeah.
You know, in this world of computer music, they just want to play. They just want to play in a sweaty club, get people banging their heads a bit, you know, got their arms in the air. Yeah, just rock and roll, basically.
Yeah, hopefully, as we said, we'll hopefully see them on a stage at one of our entertaining weekends away at some point soon.
Yeah, to get them on Rambling Man or something like that would be terrific, would be brilliant. Really would.
We've set the scene basically for this season's going to be all about interviewing people and their hobbies or supporting artists, in this case, obviously music artists. What we're saying is, you know, music's great all around. We've talked about that in previous podcasts, but go and support your up-and-coming new bands.
Because to be honest, at this moment, that's what they're going to need.
They're going to need it all.
As soon as this hopefully is over and stuff, otherwise you won't get any new music. If you don't go out and support them, go to the venues are suffering. If you don't go and go to the venues, they'll shut down.
True.
And that's how I'm not being funny. I love music, but I don't want to sit and just watch bands on a screen for the rest of my life.
No. As much as it's nice to have that to accompany everything else, you need that. Trev, you just, like what you said earlier, described it perfectly for you. A sweaty room with lots of half-naked men would suit you fine, wouldn't it?
Well, that is my front room most weekends. But it's nice to get out and do it, you know, exactly. In the sun, rather than...
And have an overpriced pints of lager and all that kind of thing.
And like a stale pizza because you've left it there for a couple of minutes and like...
and not eaten for 2 days. Just reliving your youth. Like a young band ourselves, but...
Like the rock and rollers we once were.
We wish. But yeah, please... the Hazy Janes, we'll put all their social media on our social media so you can follow the guys, download their music, see what music they're coming up. And they're doing some gigs later in the year. So
Sheffield and I can't think what the other one, Sheffield, one of them.
We'll put them all on the website, Trev. So please go out and support us. As usual, you can leave a rating review for us on amlopodcast.com. Leave us some abuse. We love listening to the abuse. No, we don't really. Trev actually had to have therapy after the last season because of the amount of abuse.
Yeah, I did.
So don't we take it seriously. Yeah, he was on the couch.
On the couch for five or six
I was just
sessions.
Watching Japanese samurai films, Trev. You're just, you know. That was with my therapist.
Yeah, he really likes them as well. So we bonded quite a bit. He's going to come to one of my naked man sessions. So we've got it all going on.
But we've got some great interviews coming up in season two, some good fun, some hobbies you probably would never have thought of taking up, but you might after you've heard people talking enthusiastically about them. And as always, there's a bit of banter. Well, from Trev anyway, you know, I'm just sitting here trying to do a job and Trev just throws me
just
off.
Just shielding from the banter.
So we look forward to seeing you next week on the episode two of season two. And we'll see you on the next one. Cheers, guys.
Ta-da.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.